I'm Bill Littlefield, and it's time for three stories you should know, and it should come as no surprise that all three of this week's stories pertain to a single sport, and that sport, of course, is curling, eh? That's football, the NFL, in fact. I'm joined by Will Leach, contributing editor at New York Magazine, and by WBUR Shira Springer.
Hello, sir.
Hello, Bill.
Will, your topic is at least pertinent to one of the teams playing in the big game, so you go first.
Yeah, I wrote a piece for the Los Angeles Times this week. The type of title that'll get you punched. It says, I humbly submit that the Patriots' dark lord, Bill Belichick, is just a little bit lovable. Mm. Now, I'm not going to quite go that far, but I will say I watched, there's a new ESPN 30 for 30 documentary called The Two Bills. It's kind of about the history of Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells, and they're working together and how they kind of came today. And there's a moment where Bill Belichick cries. Now, he actually cries in this. Now, what makes him cry, you ask? Was he thinking of his family or watching Toy Story 3 or Chopping an Onion, whatever you do to make you cry? What was he doing? No, he was thinking of watching game tape 20 years ago. And that was, to me, was an actual humanizing moment, because what I appreciate about Bill Belichick, who's probably the greatest coach of all time, is that he is the way coaching actually is, sleeping on the couch while you watch game tape, having your entire body covered in Cheetos because that's all you've eaten for the last 3 days, wearing a trash bag to your press conferences.
Shira, are you convinced by this presentation of the real Bill Belichick?
Well, it's interesting. I think the two Bills could probably refer to Bill Belichick alone, because I've actually experienced two Bills. He has given me his typical terse two-sentence answer. And then I have, you know, had him one-on-one. We're talking about aging in the NFL, but it somehow segue to NFL history and kickers, and I literally could not get him to stop talking. Huh. So I do think there is a side of Bill Belichick that is really human and is quite emotional and passionate and impassioned by football. And I'm glad that maybe we saw just a little bit of it in the documentary.
Sleeping on the couch covered with Cheetos, wearing a trash bag, miserable life for an NFL coach. But it's a life that has enabled Bill Belichick to acquire a virtual compound on Nantucket. And that is not a miserable place to be, and it won't be until the rising seas of global warming render all that real estate worthless. But he will be long gone and hard to find by then. I don't think he's all that miserable. He gets to spend a fair chunk of his life on Nantucket, happily surrounded by his family. It sounds pretty good to me.
I'm sure the family is enjoying it. He is in the basement watching game tape. Like, that's the point. That's the whole point. He has all of these things in the world, but he wants none of it other than to just have his dark room in his game tape.
All right. Shira, like Will, you are in Minneapolis this week, and one particular thing that you've noticed there.
Well, I want to start by saying that Minnesota Nice is very, very, very real. Hmm. Little anecdote here. Our Airbnb host had a football-shaped cake waiting for us in the refrigerator when we arrived. Yeah, is right.
Yeah.
And I have met some of the kindest, most helpful people here, and there's a ton to love about the Twin Cities. Hmm. I have to wonder, though, if the NFL made the right call by making Minneapolis the host city for Super Bowl 52, because Minnesota in February is pretty, pretty tough. And I get it. The league wants to spread the wealth, so to speak, when it comes to Super Bowls. Minnesota's going to get about 125,000 out-of-state visitors. But I just haven't been able to find that real energetic Super Bowl vibe here. It's not as enthusiastic or energetic as it was last year in Houston, where just everybody was going from one Super Bowl attraction to another Super Bowl attraction. And what you have here is a lot of people really, really bundled up, hustling from place to place and looking for warmers out on the street so they can warm up.
Listen, it is true that there are hundreds of thousands of people that are coming to Minnesota right now. And I can assure you, I love Minnesota. This is a beautiful place. I've been here many times and I love it. The people that are coming here for the first time are never coming back. It is so cold here. It's so cold. I'm staying out by the Mall of America. My hotel is about a 5-minute walk from the media center. And I asked the person at the front desk, hey, so how long do you think it would take me to walk over there? And they said, I'm sorry, what verb did you use? You want to what over there? I got like 30 steps out. I was like, never mind. There's got to be a shuttle like next door, right? Like it is unbelievably cold. I enjoy it because everyone's so nice. I just usually see them in those little above ground sidewalk walkways where you don't have to go outside.
Well, I think you guys have made it clear that it's cold there. And I thank you for that because I never would have guessed. But anyway, I wonder if what you have characterized, Shira, as a lack of energy and enthusiasm for the game is as a result of the fact that one of the teams and the fan base of one of the teams has been so familiar with the Super Bowl over the years that it's kind of a been there, done that thing. And so it's up to Eagles fans exclusively to generate enthusiasm and energy.
I think that might explain the lack of Patriots fans. They were hard to find the last few days. But I think, yes, it is kind of up to Eagles fans. They should be excited. They haven't won a Super Bowl. Yes, they've won NFL championships, but not technically a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So maybe it is up to the Philadelphia Eagles fans, though I think there might be some friction in the streets between Philadelphia Eagles fans and Vikings fans, considering what happened at the NFL championship game. Vikings fans were not treated kindly by the Philadelphia fans, though no one is really treated kindly by Philadelphia fans.
Friction is good, by the way. Friction is good. It provides warmth, potentially a spark, and maybe even a fire.
All right, all for friction.
I want to look ahead to next year's NFL season. NFL players have long argued that Thursday night football is a bad idea. Less time to recover from whatever has happened to them the previous Sunday. One theory about the drop in ratings has it that the Thursday night games aren't any good. And so this week, Roger Goodell announced a new contract under which Fox will broadcast Thursday night games for the next 5 seasons, millions, millions, millions of dollars generated. Goodell's response to the players' objection is, our players are unanimous in that they love the 10 days after the Thursday night game. This is evidence that the NFL, more evidence that the NFL leads all sports leagues in arrogance. And I wonder if the two of you are with me in hoping that next year, on the first Thursday night game of the season, the players on at least one team will walk out onto the field, sit down on the 50-yard line, and say, no, thank you very much. We'll wait till Sunday.
Yeah, I'd like to see that, Bill, but it's not going to happen because just as it's not surprising it's cold in Minnesota, it's also not surprising that the NFL is arrogant and continues to act in a way that really doesn't have the players' best interests in mind. You mentioned the millions of dollars that this will generate. I think it's something like $550 million per year for the length of this deal. And you know what Goodell's real goal is? He wants the NFL to generate $25 billion in revenue by 2027. Let's be honest, this is about big business.
Is that Thursday night package okay with you, Will? I know you're not always entirely in favor of the interests of big business.
Yes, sometimes. Occasionally, I'm not. Just very rarely. I would say that $25 billion revenue thing that he wants, I think this actually hurts that because these Thursday night games, which is probably the second or third highest rated game of the week, the one that everyone's more people are watching than any other, they're always terrible. They're always terrible games. Even good teams get together when they play each other. They're not good games on Thursday night because the players are exhausted. They're being more tentative. They're being more careful. For me, that was one of the major stories of this NFL season. Now you've signed up to basically hurt your product by having a ton of people watching very lousy football. I think that there may be a short-term benefit, but I think there's a long-term cost.
All right, I'm going to try and pull a long-term benefit out of this. Maybe Commissioner Goodell's arrogant disregard for the wishes of the players will encourage those players to work hard to form a more perfect union, as they say, or at least a union as strong as the one that Major League Baseball players have built over the years. What do you think?
Well, listen, labor negotiations are going to commence again in 2021, and already the head of the NFL Players Association is saying prepare for war, and he's telling players to save money in anticipation of a lockout.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Will Leach. He's the host of The Will Leach Show on Sports Illustrated TV, and WBUR's Shira Springer, who also contributes to the Boston Globe. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, as always.
Thanks for having me.